Weekly Conversation with Maitreya. The Weekly Conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing with the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you're holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our Sakwa church and hearing our lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section, Salom, and welcome to everyone.
Welcome to the mission of Maitreya's conversation room. As usual, we will be here with you for an hour or an hour and a half. Depends up on how many questions will be there and how many of them have gone to our website and study our teachings and now are here to discuss them with us. And as usual, the topic will be the mission of Maitreya and our teachings. The teaching is in the website, and it is a revelation that reveals to humanity that all the religions of the world have come from the same source, and each major religion brought with the major manifestations have a specific message for humanity. And when you put all of them together, you will see the whole picture. This coming of this revelation has been prophesied in every religion, and all the humanity are waiting for a revelation that explains what they did not know before. Indeed, we teach here to humanity what they have never knew. So it is absolutely a revelation which is new. It's been prophesied to come. It is hidden even from great manifestations and prophets. It was revealed to a few prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel, but they have been instructed not to reveal it to anyone. Now humanity have the opportunity to know the plan of God to this point and how all the revelations have come from the same source, and know that they have been called to an action, to creation of the communities of light, to understand the eternal divine path and follow it. The eternal divine path is the revelation that reveals what is the meaning of each of these religions, where they fall, how they relate to each other, and how they manifest the kingdom of God on earth. And that is the way of the salvation and the healing of this earth that it needs it so badly. So it is important, it is necessary, it is a call to humanity to see this vision, to see this revelation, to see this truth, and realize what is the will of God for humanity, and any other reasons, any other vision, any other understanding is not the whole picture. And if you don't have the whole picture, of course, you will not have all the facts and information, and your conclusion will be wrong. And that's exactly this mission and revelation gives you. It gives you the whole picture and the whole, and therefore we can see This revelation will bring the whole picture to humanity, and it makes them realize that they can make a educated, they can make a decision based on the whole truth and the whole facts that has been revealed to them through God and through the manifestations that came as the prophets of God. The prophets of God can be called the manifestations, the major manifestation, the prophets, the Messiah, no matter what you call them, they have been prophesied to come, they have been foretold that such a person will manifest. God is the Spirit. God cannot come and bring a revelation to humanity, because the manifestation is necessary to connect the message of God to man. And such a manifestations of prophets has been in history of humanity for at least last 6,000 years. And now we can see the culmination of these revelations have come to man. And now humanity can see this vision clearly and understand that they have to shatter any narrowness of the mind. They have to come together, create communities. The human life should be much more relaxed. It should be much more comfortable or not as stressful as we have created on Earth right now. And a lot of people, their life is stressful because they have to work so hard, and every individual have to make it. But in the communities, that stressfulness should be taken away. And indeed, stress is what Christ called, you know, you will gain the world, but you lose your soul. So human needs to have more time to meditate. They need more connection with other humans in a deeper level as co-workers, as people who struggle together toward God, and an environment that they can thrive and understand God in a deeper level and understand themselves and realize that they are a part of God. But with the world we have created, people don't have time or understanding that is the most important thing. Other things have become more important. And that is, of course, being attached to the external world. And of course, external world is a temporary state. It is not the permanent state of being of the universe, and everything, anything is temporary. Being attached to will not result to ultimate happiness and oneness and joy. Therefore, we can see why, by realizing this is temporary, we create an environment that we can realize the permanent, the spirit, the realization that we are one with God. And therefore, that is the goal of this mission, to create communities of light, that people can meditate, can awaken the social forces. It's more relaxing and more humane environment for human psyche, and they can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually instead of an environment that it kills the soul and creates in situation that they don't have time to realize themselves in a greater degree. And that is what this realization or this revelation bring to humanity. Of course, it's much, much more than that. It takes 7 years for a person to really deeply understand what the teachings are. Of course, some people understand it faster, some people take longer, but the revelation is amazing, and the teaching is perfect, and it brings great truth in anyone on earth. No matter what is your religion, you will understand your religion in much deeper level. And of course, this room is for everyone to go to our website and bring their questions here. And it's a discussion room mostly for you to become more familiar with teaching, and with discussing it here, you're understanding in a deeper level. Of course, I have been giving lectures and revealing this revelation for last 24 or 25 years. So there are a lot of material in the website that can help you in a greater degree. And of course, if you don't have any question, that's okay. But at the same time, the reason for this question, of course, this room is to bring your questions here in a higher level related to the mission, so we can understand this teaching in a deeper level. Not only the teaching unifies all the religions of the world, it shows how the psychological movement of the society has been working in history, and it shows historically how this psychological movement have come to this point. And now we can create an environment that will bring leaders into existence that know this psychological movement and can help humanity to smooth these cycles and create greater degree of a standard of living for everyone. And therefore, not only the physiological and safety needs will be taken care of, but we will create an environment that they also can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. And it explains how each of these revelation meant, and when you put them together, you receive the whole picture. So it's a perfect revelation. It is the ultimate revelation. Therefore, no one before this revelation could claim that they are the last prophet or the revealer of the last revelation of God, because no matter what they said or who they were, they did not have the seventh revelation or seventh seal. Therefore, all the religions of the world have to realize and recognize that their religion is a part of a greater truth, that their revealer is a great revealer. It is a major manifestation. They are respected, they are loved, they are adored, and they are put to a very high level of God's messengers. But at the same time, they had only one seventh of the truth, and they can understand in a greater degree their teachings, their revelation, their religion, if they understand ours. And that's what has been prophesied to come. And also religions have to forego their dogmas. And when the dogmas are out and the plain truth of every religion is revealed, then we can free ourselves from the narrowness of the mind and the separative ideas that is existing on earth at this time. And humanity is going toward a great destruction if they do not understand the simple truth that has been revealed to humanity. Therefore, it is paramount for each of us to recognize the urgency of this revelation and message. And of course, be wise as a serpent, as Christ said, be in the world but not of it, and be wise in the world so you can spread this message in a way that it's not going to be harmful to you as individual if you are in an environment that they cannot understand the depth and beauty of teachings, and the dogma might create an environment which is not safe for you. But God has created an environment here that the expression and the religion is freedom is been provided for humanity, and this revelation comes where these ideas are respected. Therefore, we can preach the revelation of God, the last revelation of God, without other prophets being prosecuted, stoned, shot at, and therefore God has provided an environment for this revelation that it can be preached to the world without any side effect that other prophet had to go through. Indeed, the internet itself is created by God to bring a safe environment for preaching of this revelation, and God is very protective of this revelation, because all the other revelation before it has been changed, has been distorted, and many people who did not know the whole vision tried to explain it, therefore they created branches and different religions out of each religion. At this time, of course, as we explained, if there is a dispute on the meaning of the revelation, go back to Eternal Divine Path. The Eternal Divine Path is a very simple path. It's based on awakening of spiritual forces, meditation, concentration, contemplation, and anything that helps you to know thyself, which this is the first seal in the Eternal Divine Path, which includes all the mystical teachings like Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, and all the teachings that teaches know thyself, awaken the spiritual forces, be still, know that I am God. And the second step is the creation of consciousness of light, which the Old Testament, if you read Old Testament, God is trying to choose a people. Hebrews means the children of light. He was trying to find the children of light, and the children of light will create the communities based on which was the tribes, and will bring God as their king and his laws as the law of their communities, and they will create the communities of light, and that is the message of the Old Testament. And of course, Hebrew and this time does not mean a specific race. It means the chosen person who follow eternal divine path, and that person can become or be called a Hebrew, a child of light. And of course, that means anyone on earth who understands this teaching, see the vision, and tries to create the communities of light and sacrifice for it. The next step, of course, is sacrifice. That brought by the New Testament. Christ brought the message that without sacrifice, there is no communities of light will be created. Of course, that doesn't mean a few sacrifice and many people just take what a few sacrifice, but teach children from the very childhood that sharing is the essence of life, and they should be share with one another and learn how to sacrifice of themselves for the good of the community and well-being of humanity. And that is the message of New Testament. Christ sacrificed all for his ideal, and he brought sharpest teaching for humanity, and therefore, and also he released the grace that was taken at the time of fall of man. So those who followed Christ, they were saved by grace. But as the Quran says, that will only last to the end of the this era. And with this revelation and coming of this truth, the grace is now is been released to whole humanity. And that is why we're seeing there is an equity and equality coming to man more and more. There is not going to be too much of a difference in the standard of living and life and all that. It has to be more equated and equal, and it will. And that is the revelation that Quran says, yes, the follower of Isa or Christ will be preferred to the end time, and this is the end time. So now everybody should realize that Christ indeed released the grace, and they also seek the grace of God. And as the Christian been saved by grace, so the whole humanity to have to understand the importance of grace in the life of humanity. So it's not all law, but also grace important. Also, but grace without law, of course, doesn't make sense, because grace is law. When you have the grace, you follow the law. You do not break the laws of God. They absolutely are one. Grace and law is one. Without the grace, it's impossible to follow the law. And following the law without grace will become a burden, actually. It doesn't become the joy of seeing the depth of the law itself. So they are not, you can say Christ came and destroyed the law. We are saved by grace, because the moment you are saved by grace, you will follow the law. It just they go hand in hand. Christ was in grace, that's why he were able to follow the law to the, you know, to the point that told people how they should be behave if they have the law. You know, if your hand defaults you, you know, cut it off and throw it away. That means if you have the grace, you would not break the Ten Commandments or the law of God, because it's absolutely, it will be in your heart. So they are absolutely go together. So with sacrifice, of course, you can create the comings of light, but you might be attached to the result of your action. And you say, well, I'm doing so much, nothing has happened. You get depressed, or you do something, things start happening. You say, I am the doer. Look at me. I have such a wonderful, you know, being, and become a big ego, and you fall. Of course, ego is the problem and on this manifested world. Ego is like umbrella we have at the top of our head, and we are cutting the grace. And of course, when we cut the grace, we do not follow the law, we fall, we don't feel God, we feel that he's not there, he's not connected with us, we are not connected to him, and we become unhappy, and we do not even feel there is a God. And that is what most humanity feel, that the God does not exist. Actually, some people say God is dead already. But with this revelation and coming of the truth and the last revelation of God, we say, no, he is still there. He exists. He still is in control. And he says what he has done and he will do. And he has done them all to this point. And he said he will send a revelation at end time that will clarify everything he has. Therefore, God indeed exists and is well and is with us all the time, and there is no time that God is not with us at all. Therefore, with this understanding, humanity realized there is a God, and and he has a will for humanity, that all of us have come from him, or her, or it, or whatever you want to call it, which really doesn't have any name, because he is not a manifestation. And he is in control. Indeed, if you have a vision of him, he knows everything at the same time. It's nothing that is not unknown by God. And therefore, we have to recognize this and realize that is the will of God, to create the comings of light, to meditate, awaken our spiritual forces, knowing ourselves, realizing our ego, how our ego cuts the grace out, and how we don't feel God because we are cut from the grace, and therefore start going deeper, understanding and following the law, not because it has been commanded to follow the law, but because of the grace. You do not even want to break the law, because you know the moment you break the law, the grace will be taken away, and the grace is the only thing you want. And because the grace is the time that you feel a connection to the spirit, and therefore anything that disconnects you from the spirit will be shunned and discarded, and therefore you will strive to become godly and pure and purity and get rid of your ego. And of course, ego become attached. Ego is one of the characteristics of the ego. Ego gets attached to the life, become attached to family, become attached to nations, language, anything we're attached to, of course, is temporary. The only permanent thing is God, and God doesn't have any color, doesn't have any manifestation, it's not a nation or language or anything. You have just shatter any narrowness of the mind or attachment that keeps you from God. It doesn't mean don't, you know, drop your family. No, God, love them with the godly love, with no attachments. You know, look at them as a one manifestation of God, which provide He has provided them for you to be so close and helpful and one, and help them in any way you can. They also can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually, but at the same time know that at the time when it comes the time for going back to God, nobody's going to be around but you and God, and therefore be attached to something which is permanent at that moment. You're not going to take your wealth, you're not going to take your family, you're not going to take your nation, language, gender, anything that you're attached now. In that moment of leaving your body, there is none of them going to be with you. The only thing left is your soul. And that is what you have to work, your spirit, your oneness with God, the grace. In that moment when it comes, say, here I am, ready to come back to your bosom, to your spirit, and return to you. Therefore, you will become a observer, a witness entity of life. You will look in life like a river underneath the bridge. The river goes, but you are steady and looking at it as something is happening there. Therefore, any attachment should be completely shattered and taken care of. And that is why the fourth revelation comes to humanity as the revelation in Quran. In Islam, means being surrendered and submit to God. And surrendering means, of course, that you do the action and you surrender the result to God. Any attachment you have, you will overcome it and free yourself to God, to permanency. Any temporary thing is never going to give you the permanent happiness. Your family, your nation, your language, anything that is not permanent is temporary, and as you grow, those temporary attachments are going to fall off you. Therefore, the sooner you get rid of your attachments to the temporary thing, the sooner you will realize the permanent for God. And of course, you will be free from all the vices of this life and this manifested world. Of course, when you do the action also for the comings of light in the eternal divine path, if you become attached to them, you either become depressed or you will become elated and egoistical. And as it just said, ego, the moment egoistical, you cut God out and you're not connected. Therefore, you do the action, you surrender the result. But of course, greater than surrendering is submission to realizing God is doing the action through me. That's why some people are surprised. They come to our room and somebody says something that makes sense in the room, and they say, thank you, such and such a person, and they say, all thanks go to God. It means I didn't do it, God did it through me, therefore God is the one who receives the thanks. I have no credit for what happened, and therefore I'm free from my ego. I neither become depressed nor too elated. Therefore, submission and surrendering is the way to become one with God. And that is the goal of the spiritual progress, to become one with God. The more we let God come through, the more we realize God is the doer, we are not. The more we realize I do not exist, but God exists only, the sooner we become one with God and we can manifest His Spirit in a greater degree. And of course, when the other people also would see the Spirit of God coming to us, they will want to be like us because we have the joy and calmness and unity and stillness of the God's Spirit with us, and everybody wants that. Therefore, the fourth step or revelation was the Quran and Islam, surrendering and submission. That means we are absolutely let God come through, and therefore we are free from our ego. Still, you might concentrate in a very small part of the world, a part of the earth, part of the universe, and only direct your meditation, your prayer, your understanding to that a small part. That's what the next step is, the universalism. Okay, Berserker is asking, what God are we talking about? There is only one God, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. F-I-N-E, fine. Doesn't have any form. The moment you give them a form, the moment say God looks like this, or God looks like that, you create separation. You create divisions, you create ego trips, you create wars and destruction and misunderstanding. It is invisible. Does not, you cannot see it. So if you can see anything, and we Berserker, one of the rules in this room is, do not ask any question before your first question is answered. Therefore, hold your typing until your first question has been asked, and then we will go ahead and get to the, your other awards. So let's just concentrate which God we are talking about. So he is invisible. It cannot be seen. It is impossible to have a shape for him. It goes very well with formless, but it also cannot even be seen. Nameless, it doesn't have any manifested name. Of course, all the beautiful names belong to him, as the Quran says, and you can call him anything you want, but really, God is permanent and is not manifestation, so therefore, he cannot have any name in manifestation, manifest the world. And therefore, we can see it's also nameless and invisible. It's all nameless and eternal. He's eternal. It's been here, it was here, it will be here forever. Of course, eternity and is something you cannot explain, as God cannot be explained. It can be experienced. Therefore, we're talking about God called formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Now you say Zeus, or I think I mean Zeus, okay, like Jesus, okay, yeah, well, that's good to, you know that his name never was Jesus, and as you mentioned, Jesus, it's a combination of J, in Sanskrit means victory, and Zeus, of course, is the god Zeus, and we can see the name Jesus have come in a, from the Greek language, and after the Christianity came to Europe, later on, he was called Jesus, and therefore his name never was Jesus. And that's interesting that God is already revealed that you are saved only by his name. But what is his name? That is a mystery that many religions tried to say what his name is, but in reality, his name cannot be pronounced in the external world. That is why when the follower or disciple of Christ were healing, and they were healing many people, a magician came and offered them money and a lot of other things if they can give them the word that they healed with. And of course, they did not accept his offer. So if healing was done by the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, why would he offer money to know what the word was? It was the word that they would not pronounce it or utter it externally, and therefore the magician or the person who wanted the word could not hear what they said, and therefore he offered money to them to received the word. Of course, they did not give it to him because he wasn't ready. He wanted to use it and misuse it instead of bring to a godly manifestation. And therefore, we can see indeed the word, his name cannot be pronounced, and the words that disciple used to heal were given to them, you know, internally, and therefore nobody knew what they said or used. Nowadays, of course, people heal in the name of Jesus and the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, and Christ already said, at the end time, you're going to come to me and say, I heal you in your name, and I say, I know you not, you know, because the word you use is not really Christ, but you heal in the name of Zeus. So you can see that, and also Christianity Christian are supposed to be saved by his name. If the name is not Jesus, how can they claim to be saved when the name is not even the name that God said they will be saved with? So you're correct. They use this Jesus as the name of Christ. Of course, his the earthly name was Isa, and the Isa is known in a Muslim country in India and Far East. He is known as Isa the Christ. So his earthly name was Isa, but his spiritual name, of course, is something it cannot be uttered. They call him Yahweh, and they call him Yeshua, and all that, but all of them is still a pronunciation and uttering of the word, and the name of the God cannot be uttered. That's why even if Hebrews try to utter the name of God, they would be stoned, because Hebrew knew the true name of God cannot be pronounced. So we are talking about that God, the God which is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And it's not Jesus, it's not Jesus, it is not Allah, it's not Yeshua, it is not Brahma, it's not Krishna, it is not any name that you can utter it in external world. It is something can be revealed to you through the initiation in the mission. And those who receive it, of course, will be the soldiers and the workers of God, and will work very hard to manifest this revelation. And when you receive it, of course, you say, it's been all there always, but I didn't know it. And when you receive it, of course, you will be with God all the time. If you remember it, and the environment lets you to meditate and manifest it and think about it more and more, we receive it one day that there is no time that God is not with you. Therefore, we're talking about that God. We're talking about the God, the only God that there is. There's formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And he is asking, can we see God? How do we know he is there? Well, as we said, he's invisible, nameless, formless, and eternal. Therefore, you cannot see him. But you can see his manifestation. You can see his hand in the creation. You can see how logical and scientific it is. You can see how science even becoming closer and closer in realizing that there is a unified field or a unified theory. It's a theory, but in reality, everything has come from a unified source. And that unified source in the mystical path in religion is called God. And therefore, the essence, the very permanent of the universe, permanency of the universe cannot be seen. That's why the scientists have such a hard time to go beyond manifested world. The latest thing they have, of course, realized is the dark matter. And they know dark matter exists because the weight of some galaxies is much more than materials in them. Therefore, there is something there that makes them even heavier than the weight of the galaxy or any manifestation. And there they call it dark matter. Of course, that is an ethereal ether in the universe which cannot be detected with the science instrument. So we can see there is some unified field or essence that everything has come from. That is God. And furthermore, if you understand our teachings, All through our teachings, God has promised many things that He will manifest on the world, on the earth, and He has accomplished them. Therefore, if you go to a room and there is a glass of water there, and you come back half an hour later and see the water is not there, you assume somebody came and drank the water, and therefore that individual exists. And you know such a person has been there, although you don't see the person there anymore. So if you read our teachings, you understand that God indeed has revealed that He will manifesting, promised many things in the history, and He accomplished them. And therefore, you have no choice but say God exists. But God is not recognizable, understandable by mind, by intellect. God is an experience. That's why you cannot explain God. Humanity has been trying to explain God for thousands of years. They have written books and probably thousands and thousands of books just to explain what God is. And they have not succeeded because God cannot be explained. And God is beyond mind, and therefore you have to experience God in a spirit. As Christ said, you worship God in a spirit, not in temples and mountains. Therefore, we can see intellectuals will have a hard time trying to explain God, and they will not succeed. But if they meditate, if they close their eyes, and they are accepted, they will experience the connection. But intellectually, if you read our teaching, if God said He will do this thing and He has done them, therefore He exists, you don't have to see it to believe it, but you have to recognize, yes, indeed, a spirit do exist. I hope that answers your question. If you have a question now, you can go ahead and type it, but don't go on and on, just type it over and over. But let one question has been answered before the other question comes up. So if you are an intellectual person and you are trying to explain God, you will not succeed. But if you close your eyes and meditate and read our teaching, you will see God indeed exists. Indeed, the very, very existence of this revelation on earth is a testimony of God's existence. Because if you understand how God prophesied this will come, how He said, you know, the person who will bring this will be from the genealogy of King David, and how there is going to be a seventh seal, seventh revelation, and the last revelation will explain everything, then you have no choice to say, yes, indeed, this is a testimony of the existence of God, and therefore this mission is here to glorify God and teach intellectuals and atheists to realize indeed God exists, and they are trying to explain God, and they are very clever. Intellectual try just like a saying that if God really is powerful, why doesn't He create a stone that even He cannot lift it up, you know? And those clever statements or ways that they're trying to discredit God. But if you understand our teaching, you will see, you know, indeed God said He's going to do this thing and He's done them, and therefore God exists. And then you have to create faith. Then you have to see the hand of God in your life, in history, in creation. And they're all explained in our teaching how even history has been guided and brought to this point by God. And therefore, they have no choice at the end. They said, yes, indeed, God exists. Now, if I can see it or not, if you have the eye, you do. You can see God in your hand. How fantastic this instrument is, that God, the best engineer on earth, even having created something so useful and so flexible and so wonderful, you can grab the things, you can pick up, you can put it down, you can do a lot of things with your hand. So it's perfect. Who created it? Is it by chance? Impossible. And to create a hand like this by chance is less possible than, you know, finding one dark grain from 1 million or 1 billion of them. So we can see it cannot be created by chance. So know that God, and realize indeed he exists. This revelation is from him. It is the last revelation explaining everything to humanity, and then recognize and realize you have to go back to him. Okay, there is another question by Silver. I recently read the story of Baha'u'llah and was so astounded by the terrible suffering that this servant of God experienced, even more than Isa experienced. Will this happen again? Well, actually, I don't know if you read the story of Baha'u'llah or Bab. Bab was the first revealer of the revelation of universalism. He also went through, of course, Bab also got Baha'u'llah, and Baha'u'llah, of course, was a disciple of Bab, and he later on claimed he is the one that Bab was talking about, and he brought the teaching from the east to west to Jerusalem, not all the way to the west, but to the to Jerusalem, which still is east. But he brought his son eventually brought the rest of the teaching to Europe and United States, to the west, of course both of them suffered greatly. And Bob also went through a very, very bad circumstances, and eventually was shot and killed. And Baha'u'llah, of course, he was also suffered a lot. And suffering has been always with the prophets before this revelation. But if you study the seventh seal and seventh revelation, indeed God does not predict any such a thing happen to the revealer of the seventh revelation. Indeed, he predicts that there's going to be a great statue for the revealer and the revelation at this time. And we can see he has indeed provided an environment that this revelation can come and reach humanity in a greater degree without the side effect that came to other prophets before it. Therefore, hopefully, physically at least, there will not be any suffering as they have done it. But of course, emotionally and mentally, there is always a suffering related to a new idea. Any person who brings a new idea to humanity, they will suffer. Even scientists, when they bring a new ideas to a scientific community, they are usually are rejected because it's not the norm and it's not the accepted behavior of scientists. It happens to, you know, Galilei or even in for Darwin and all the people, they have brought new ideas and the scientists weren't ready for it. It's the same thing for religion. In religion, of course, it's more intense because people are very, very attached to their belief and their own religion and culture and language and all that. Therefore, it's even worse in that sense that it affects their spirit, their ability to live the way they used to and the way they thought that the truth was, and therefore they become very unhappy of a new revelation or religion, and they want to harm the revealer because they think it's his fault that he brought something to them that is not the same as they believe. But the truth is, it's God who brought that revelation to man through this person. It is not person's fault that the truth, the whole truth, has not been revealed to humanity to this point. So that person is chosen, and God said, go ahead and give this revelation to man. Actually, if you remember, Jonah knew, you know, he's going to be suffering because he had a message from God. And he said, God, you have a wrong person. I'm not going to do it. And of course, we know he didn't have any choice. You know, he tried to go away from the city God was sending him. And God, of course, made the people in the ship to throw him into the ocean or sea, and a whale swallowed him and brought him back right in front of that city and threw him out of his mouth and said, now go and give me my message. And of course, no, Jonah was the only prophet which was accepted, actually. And that is the only prophet you can see ever came, went to a people and gave the message of God, and they accepted him and didn't crucify him, stoned him, yell at him, cursed him, you know, and all that. Of course, in this time, with the way God has created it, and the only thing they can come here is throwing at us a cyber stone. That's what it's called. They have been told that's what it's called. Come here and yell and say things that is not true. But the truth is, you know, they don't have access to us the way they had to other prophets. Therefore, this time, of course, it is not happening or the way it happened. So, and also, it's enough. Isn't it enough for six times of suffering and destruction and shooting at and stoning and all that? At the seventh time, of course, hopefully we'll have an environment that is more educational. And of course, this time has been taught in the mission. It is the thief of the night life. We have come very quietly. We are reaching to humanity very quietly, and therefore, it is thief of the night. Nobody knows when it came and it left. So very few will know what is happening. So answering your question in short, no. This time is not prophesied. There is going to be any suffering, and the way the other prophets have been treated. And of course, those prophets were the same spirit, the same being, the same manifestation. So those suffering have come to that manifestation, to this point, but in this point, of course, it is prophesied there's not going to be any suffering, and this time it is the coming of the kingdom, instead of bringing one part of the manifestation and in an environment that will make that person suffer greatly. So yes, indeed, it is terrible what people or human do to the prophets of God, but there are lessons for humanity to learn, not to go that path anymore, but understand, realize, see that God indeed said this revelation will come, and they come and join instead of fighting it. I hope that answers your questions. There are also other questions from Cry Angel X. Will not he speak in Persian? Why he is not any sight in Persian? Yeah, I can speak in Persian, but of course English is the chosen language by God for humanity. As we know that English almost is an international language, and we encourage everybody learn English because this revelation has come in English. And also we encourage not only learn English, but also bring beautiful words from other languages to English. So eventually, one day in the future, we have a new language has the beauty of all languages, which become an international language. So yes, I can speak Persian, Farsi, but it doesn't make any sense when only few people can understand me in this room, but most people can understand English. Therefore, that is why it is given in English. It is revealed in English. It will be preached in English. I hope that answers your question. And let me see. There is another question from Berserker. How do you know Zeus is Jesus when Zeus came first? Are you trying to change history to fit your picture? Maybe Jesus was Zeus and you got it wrong. One way or the other, he's dead now. So it doesn't matter. Well, the reason it is Zeus is because the Greeks were following Zeus. Of course, he was before Christ. And when the teaching of Christ came to the West, actually, it fits very well with the beliefs of Mithraism, which was a branch of the Zoroastrian religion, and they were waiting for Mitra to come from a virgin, and he would save the world. Does it sound familiar? Being born from the virgin and save the world, and then of course Greeks and Romans, you know, took the religion, and as you will study in our teaching, they have changed many things. They have changed the feasts and the holidays of God to the feast and holidays of Roman and Greeks. And of course, the Greeks, before Christ came to the West, they always say Jesus, victory to Zeus, because that was the God. So they accepted Christianity as a much greater revelation, because their gods were Zeus or Apollo or sun god Mitra and all that. But Christ was the Son of God, the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. He was much greater than being just a god of a sun, or the god that was always angry, unhappy, and had human failings. So when Christianity came to the West, it was more appealing. Of course, it was the will of God, because God already prophesied that the last tribe of Israel will be, you know, gathered together by Christ. And that's exactly what happened to the West, because that was where the last tribe came. So, but they didn't want to give up their gods. That's why you can see Christianity being amazingly affected with the pagan ideas and Greek and Roman beliefs. And of course, that is done so God shows the grace is more important than anything else. So the Christian to this point have been saved by grace, not what they believe and what they understood in a deeper level. Therefore, we can see the whole Christianity affected with the ideas before it. And now, of course, it's been revealed that, you know, those things has to go, and the true name of Christ was not Jesus. He never was called Jesus. Actually, the very J doesn't exist in Hebrew. There is no J in Hebrew. Therefore, Jesus absolutely is impossible to be his name, and therefore it is something that's been given to him by Greeks after they accepted Christianity. And of course, they knew about Zeus, because Zeus, as you said, was before Christ, before Isa. And you're absolutely correct in that. We do not change the history. Actually, we explain the history in a greater degree. And if you understand our teaching, history makes much, much more sense to you, and how God has been guiding it to this point. So indeed, our teaching is based on science and history and psychology and everything, every branch of the science or any discipline you look at, you will see it is covered in our teachings in a much greater degree and explain. All right. Silver is asking, when I first visited this wonderful place, I knew that Maitreya is the promised seventh angel predicted in the Bible. I also believe that because I knew this, that meant I was ready to become a full-time servant of the Lord. I have come to understand this is not so. Please comment. I followed you until became full-time. Okay, I have come to understand this is not so. Okay, why it is not so? Can you explain that part? What do you mean by that? If you can explain it further, I cannot understand. I have come to understand this is not so. What is not so? That I am not the seventh angel, or you cannot be a full-time servant of God? Can you explain further, Silver? That last sentence, I have come to understand this is not so, this is not so what. Yes, if you like, you can come to the mic and explain that, or you can just type it in. Okay, you cannot be the full-time servant of God. Why not? Why can't you be this full-time servant of God? Everybody can be the full-time servant of God if their heart desire is with God fully, and they can overcome their attachments and come to God 100%. Why you cannot do that? What is the reason for it? That's what I do not understand, because I believe any person can become 100% the servant of God. Actually, that is our birthright, to be the servant of God 100%. And if we desire so greatly to be 100% the servant of God, why not? So can you tell us why not? Because I have not been able to follow any of the rituals. Oh, well, actually, the most important part of the mission is the Eternal Divine Path and following the Eternal Divine Path. The rituals are given for your benefit, and also not all the rituals are for everybody. Some people like to sing, some people like to meditate, some people like to dance, some people like to chant. Some people like to concentrate, some people like do different part of the rituals, and the ritual mostly are given for different tests of the disciples, and also for bringing a greater tolerance in the different cultures which do not do the same rituals as other people. Just like when we see Muslim staying hundreds and thousands of them in different rows and doing the namaz, it's very odd to us why some people can just give up their business and going different places that we do and stay together and do the namaz together. But it brings great unity, great energy through that those people. And therefore, when we do it here in the mission, at least if you should be do it once. If you like it, great, continue. But when do it once, the next time you see Muslim, you do not, it's not gonna look so strange to you anymore, because you know not only it brings great unity, and also it is a yoga exercise. Therefore, it becomes a great flexibility and a spiritual benefit to that person. And also, when we chant, you know, when you next time see a Buddhist chant, you know, it doesn't sound strange anymore, but you see, oh yeah, that's possible, that to chant, you know, I have chanted myself, so they do not look strange anymore, or dancing, or kirtan, or all those rituals is given for the benefits, and chanting concentrates the mind, dancing loosens the body and bring the spirit to you. And we can see African and South American people, they dance a lot, and they even, of course, sometimes experience God through that dancing and going to the higher state of consciousness. And of course, all those things should be spontaneous and should be followed with a spirit. When you dance, don't become too rigid that, oh, I have to follow my foot first, my that foot second, I have to say this, I have to put my hands up or down and all that. But let the spirit take over, and after a while you absolutely forget about the self. So the rituals are for you to follow, and if you do not follow them, of course you do not receive the benefit. But the most important part is to recognize this revelation is from God, all religions are unified, you understand this religion, and you become tolerant and become a person also can teach other people to see this vision clearly. And that is the most important part of the mission. Rituals are great, they are very beneficial, but if the individual doesn't do them, they will not receive it themselves. But still, you can be a great servant of God, but not doing all the rituals. Of course, being a servant of God and doing the rituals is better. Cry Angel is asking, Birahatiba, okay, Birahatiba Farsi Kanare Rifti Shumaye کلام به من بگین لطفا. اوکی. و چه چیزی من میخوام به شما بگم خانم عزیز؟ من I'm just talking a Persian with Cry Angel. She's asking me that if I can talk to her a little Farsi. So چه چیزی من میخوام به شما بگم خانم جانم؟ شما بگو من براتون به فارسی میگم. So you can say I can speak Persian if I want to, but I rather give this revelation in English. This revelation didn't come to me when I was in Iran. It came to me when I was in the United States. And it didn't come to me in Persian. It came to me in English. And therefore, we can see if I have brought this in Persian and I would give this revelation in Persian in Paltok or in United States, very few people would understand what the revelation is. But look, I'm giving it in English, people in Australia, people in Europe, people in South America, people in United States, people in Asia, they are hearing me and understanding what I'm talking about. You can see that, and also, you know, Persian has been influenced in Arabic, so does English. If we know that Spain was under the influence of Arabs for 200 years, and the French language has been influenced greatly with English, with Arabic language. Actually, they almost have the same kind of alphabet and the male and female, you know, for everything in things. So you can see, if you look at French, and of course, Spanish has been influenced greatly with the Arabic, and the French, of course, influenced English. We know that the higher language in England become French, and after was under the control of French for some time. So we can see Hebrews or Semitic languages influence Persian and Spanish and French, and they influence English, and therefore they have been influenced with Semitic language also. Actually, English became more powerful after French was influenced it. And of course, English has many, many other languages or words have come from many different cultures. And therefore, it is the most powerful language that have come to humanity. And in this time, it is an international language, and therefore we have to accept that. That is the God's doing, and we have to realize to follow what God's doing is. And of course, as we said, as the beautiful words in Persian, beautiful words in Arabic, beautiful in Hebrew, beautiful word in Sanskrit and Hindu and Chinese and many places, when they come to English, eventually we reach a point that this language is not going to be what it is right now. It's going to be absolutely a new language, an international language that everybody can follow, know, and appreciate. Okay, well, I don't mujazat, mujazatun. I don't know, I guess we have to stop Persian language, and you should say it in English, Cry Angel, so everybody would say what is going on here in the room. And so we can see I'm not attached to any specific culture or language. I am attached to God, and that is where I have come from. And also, each of you, if you realize that yes, indeed, the reincarnation is correct, and you have been born many, many times, where are you from? Which incarnation? Which lifetime? And how can you be attached only to one culture and one language when you have been incarnated in all languages in the world? And therefore, we all have to expand our consciousness. We have to all go beyond our nationality and language, that anything we are, you know, attached to, and realize there's only one Earth, one humanity, one Savior, one God. And break away from anything that narrow us and we do not include everybody in it. With this, of course, we realize that indeed we have to overcome these now. Otherwise, we're going to have the same problem that we have on Earth right now. We will be separating ourselves with language, nationality, gender, and everything that has been created problem for humanity. And that is where God wants to take humanity. God wants to take humanity through the unity of all men and create a new culture. That culture is going to be the culture of God. And the culture of God, of course, is based on the God's law and God's way. Okay, if it's after 11, if there is no other questions here, again, okay, Adele have a question. Go ahead, Adele.
Thank you, thank you very much. I was wondering about the leaving. I think a lot of people have the think that it is easy to believe in God. This has not been my experience, but it is possible, very much possible, to work towards it. But how can you know when you are a true believer? Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Adele. Can you repeat the question again? I guess you are talking about leaving. I mean, leaving, L-I-V-I-N-G, or leaving a place. Okay. You really understand? Okay. Well, I have a hard time of believing. Okay. Thank God for that question. Okay. Can you repeat the question again or type it? What is true believer? I see. Okay. Who is a true believer? A true believer is the person who followed the eternal divine path. A true believer is not a word. It's not something I say, I believe, and that's it. I'm a believer. The believer is the person who sees the vision. He believes that indeed God has prophesied this revelation will come, that he does see this revelation is the seventh seal, the seventh revelation of God, the last revelation for humanity. And indeed, it is the truth that God said will send at the end time. And then, not only he sees the or she sees the vision, but also he or she sees the calling that this vision bring to them and to humanity. Therefore, they start meditating, do the rituals, attending the rooms that do the ritual and come to the services, and then they try to awaken their forces. They try to preach and distribute and reach out to humanity to further, you know, spread this message and the mission to humanity. And therefore, they can bring more people to realize God indeed has his last revelation, and their religion is a part of it. And therefore they come together as one. And if they do that, of course, they be recognized by their fruit, and little by little, they might come closer to the mission. And of course, when you come closer to the mission, means come closer to me and your ability to work with me. One of the things the people in the mission, this mission is not something I say, oh, don't go, just meditate and don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. It is not something that just doesn't have any call to action. It is a call to action. It's coming together. Come close to me so we can work together, create the facilitating body, and your ability to work with me is very important. If you cannot work with me, if you cannot create a rapport and understanding and a working condition with me, therefore, that's fine. You have then the vision, you have received the revelation, and I leave you to God. But if you want to go farther, of course, you have to create a situation or ability that we can work together, and little by little, we can find the 12 or 24 elders or facilitating body and create the networking or a system that can reach to all parts of the earth and have the teachers and the facilitating body, so we can create the many communities of light and eventually create the hierarchy which come from the communities. We are not the hierarchy. Hierarchy come from the community, from the people, by the people, for the people. That's what that was the idea was. And that has not manifested yet, but now it will if we create that environment. So the true believer starts with seeing the vision, understanding this is from God, then of course gradually manifesting their ability, they can reach and manifest and give great fruits and eventually come close, and so we can work together to manifest this mission. Go ahead, Adel.
Thank you very much for that answer. I've come to understand now that it came to me that it's like this mustard seed that Esau was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That you have, it starts with a very small seed and then it grows from there. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, that's a good analogy. And indeed, Christ has already given us the way it works. And of course, that mustard seed is the faith, is understanding. And little by little, it should become a great tree, which will give much fruit. But of course, we have to let the ego go and let God come through. And the more God come through, of course, the closer we will become together, and we can create greater environment and manifest the mission as God has shown us how to be done. Silver is asking, I believe that God has called me to this mission. How do I know this belief is true? Well, you know this revelation and the truth by knowing the prophecies and realizing that God said the seventh revelation will come, and now it has. So this is the part God has manifested and fulfilled. Your part also has been given. You know them by the fruit. And the greater fruit a disciple or a people who have been called to this mission will manifest, the greater their part in the table of God's feast, and they will become, of course, exalted in their, you know, manifestation of God's work. Therefore, you know, we know you by your fruit. You know us by our revelation and prophecies and all the things is given by God to recognize indeed this is from God. If you did that, then we know you by your fruit, and we can see how much faith you have, how much manifestation you can manifest, and therefore this is a two-way relationship. I have proven that this revelation indeed is from God. It is the seven angels. It is the seven revealer by God using me to bring the most perfect religion on earth to you by fulfilling the prophecies, by fulfilling the genealogy. Now it is you who have to prove it to me that you are indeed a disciple. You are indeed is the one who has been called for. You indeed are an elect. So I know you by your fruit, not by your words, but your claims, but by your fruits. Words and claims doesn't mean nothing. Also, not by buttering me up or anything like that. It is absolutely based on the fruit that you give. Of course, the greater your fruit you give, the greater you will be in my heart and in God's heart and in the mission. So that is how you know. How much fruit are you giving? Are you manifesting mission? Are you meditating? Are you awakening our spirit forces? Are you creating communities of light? Are you sacrificing for it? Are you surrendering and submit to God and His will for you? Are you expanding your mind and become a universalist and shattering all the narrowness of the mind and attachments and the things that separate you from any other person? Then, if you are doing all that, you are an elect and you can manifest great things. Okay. Mikhail's Light is asking, I have been deeply ridiculed for my beliefs, but I still keep trying to talk to people. Our resistance to God has led us to tribulation. Afterward, no one on earth will doubt God's existence and the truth of the seven angel Maitreya. Very good. Michael's Light, and indeed, you are right. The whole reason for the mess we have on earth is humanity have left God out. And also, the reason they left God out is because all the older religion have only a part of the truth, and therefore they have made a lot of mistakes and created a lot of dogmas and created the separation and created an environment that the intelligent people rejected them. They said because it doesn't make sense. But this religion even appeals to intelligent people, and they can see the hand of God in history, in science, in psychology, in everything in life, and also see the whole seventh revelation, how they fit to each other, with each other, and by creation of the communities of earth, we can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And human are hearing this. More and more people are listening, are coming to our rooms, are connecting to us, and each of you become a point of light wherever you are. And you can give this revelation and vision to other people, and you can gather those who will listen to you. And of course, you always have to connect them to the mission, and mission connect them to God. And that is how it works. Do not become an obstacle in the way of God by connecting them to yourself, because if you do that, of course, you will become in the way. You will not connect. You do not become a bridge. You become an obstacle. Therefore, preach, reach, teach, and let humanity know about these teachings. Each of you are called for action, for this revelation and the truth, and each of you are indeed a revealer of a new teaching and revelation to every man and woman you know, and child, and children. So. But be very, very aware not to connect anybody to yourself, but connect them to the mission, connect them to God. And of course, my job is to connect you to God. That is what we said many times. The most important thing is to realize this revelation is a revelation of glorifying God. God indeed exists because He said this revelation will come. It has, and therefore God will be glorified. So we believe in what you say, and we accept your understanding, and we realize that it is hard. It is difficult to reach a humanity that has gone so far away from God that they do not even want to listen anything godly. Actually, the moment you say you believe in God, they say, oh, one of those religious people. It's just like, oh, because you believe in God, you're stupid or something. And that is not true. Actually, our belief and religion is very scientific. It's very based on the intelligence. And we actually have a better grip of science than scientists are coming to understand. We understand the psychology better than Freud understood it. It is just not your childhood, but it is many lifetimes that you have created the subconscious mind. That is why your reactions are. So psychology is not only knowing where your father or mother did to you, but what happened to your previous lifetime for many lifetimes. So after you resolve those, you can completely free yourself. And the way of freeing yourself is being given, you know, meditation, concentration, contemplation, knowing yourself and seeing yourself squarely. And that is the hardest thing a human can do, to face your own self. And that is the scariest thing for a human to accomplish. Squarely look at yourself and say, am I really following the eternal divine path? Am I really meditating? Am I feeling awakening my spiritual forces? Am I having control over my life and my mind and my actions? Am I trying to create the comings of light? Or am I just attached to the little thing in life? Am I sacrificing for it? And am I surrender and submit to God for me in this umbrella of the mission and this revelation? You see, it is just a scary thought that we absolutely face ourselves. When you face yourself, of course, you become a greater person because you free yourself from all the vices of human failings. So, you all again are a part of this mission. You have been called to become a worker, a soldier, a light, a light bearer, the elects, the people who wants to do this mission in a greater degree, and reach out wherever you can and however you can. Come and open a room in the Pal Talk, you know, start preaching to other people. If your family doesn't listen to you, go to your friends. If your friends don't listen to you, go to new people. Start a class, put some ads, whatever, you know, there is in the mission is given what I can do. There's a list of the things you can do for this mission to reach out and preach and spread. And at this time, we can reach every corner of the earth with internet. And this voice goes to everyone all over the world. And all over the world, of course, are called to join. This is the only religion for the whole humanity. Before that, every religion was just for a part of it. So meditate on this, and that is how you can know how great a believer you are. And the greater you manifest, the greater your belief, and the greater your spirit and godliness. Let's bring humanity back to God. Let's bring God back to humanity. Let's create an environment that people are brothers and sisters. They help one another and create an environment that they can grow physically, mentally, and spiritually. And let us all march toward oneness with God and all become a part of Him. And we realize indeed we have accomplished great thing for humanity. I leave all you to God. These conversations will be in the website. You can go and download it and listen to it again and again. And as usual, answer the call of God to all of you and bring others also to answer to this call. And maybe we can bring peace and unity and oneness and beautiful environment for everybody to be here and enjoy life with God. Be with God. Have a wonderful week. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Salam, everybody.